Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word. Familiar words that we've heard many times. And we pray that we might hear them as if for the first time. That they might have the power to work into our very spirits and challenge us to be faithful followers of you and your Son. Give us the courage and the will to do that. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I want to share a story with you about a master craftsman that I had the wonderful opportunity to work with for over a year when I was serving in my first church back in the early 80s. Tom Grodem was the name of this craftsman, and he was the father of the wife of the couple who lived next door to Barbara, my Barbara and I. And Dave and Andy, the couple next door, were members of the church. In fact, Dave had served on the pastor nominating committee that brought Barbara and I to that church. And the people in the church remarked that Dave wanted to make sure he got good neighbors. Kind of like Helen Kardhauser was on the committee when I came to this church. Tom Grodem, Andy's father, was a member of the local Roman Catholic Church. And we had many wonderful discussions over coffee when we would take a break in the middle of the morning. He lived on the outskirts of a nearby town and had several acres of land. And in the back of his acreage, he had planted a small forest of pine trees. And every year, Dave and Andy would go and get their Christmas tree from Tom's small acreage, small forest of pine trees. And it was painful for Tom because he loved his trees. He didn't like having them cut down. But he also wanted to help out his daughter and her family. So he would never go with them. He said, I don't want to know where you cut it down. But he said, you must do one thing. You must leave one branch attached to the stump. And when I asked him why, he said, that one branch will slowly come up and become a new tree. He wanted his pine forest to be self-sustaining. That is the power of roots. That's the power of roots to create new life. Sometimes you don't even need to leave one branch. New life will come charging out of a stump. I've experienced this several times with a tree that just refuses to die that's growing right next to the foundation of my house in North Plainfield. I've cut it down several times, and it keeps coming back. Finally, the last time I took a jack and I tried my darndest to jack the stump, roots and all, right out of the ground. I got it to move a little bit, but I couldn't get it out. But I think I moved it enough that something broke and it took it, but I think it's finally starting to come back again. Oh well. I have a lilac bush in my backyard. And a wild lilac started growing. The lilac tree is still, bush is still there, but there's a wild one growing out of the stump at the base. And I've cut that down a number of times, and it keeps coming back. Life that is rooted is hard to extinguish, which helps us to survive hard times. Recently, I heard someone talking about the fact that another minister talking about the fact that, you know, we have it pretty good, and yet we go through rough patches in life. Loss of a job. We go through losing someone we love very much, or times of confusion and difficulty. But being rooted helps us to survive those times, to thrive through those times. And Isaiah 11 is a part of what many scholars call First Isaiah. We believe, many people, scholars believe Isaiah was written by three different authors. The first author of Isaiah wrote before the exile to Babylon. Often he writes of God's judgment on the nation of Judah. And at the beginning of chapter 10, the previous chapter, we hear these words. Ah, you who make iniquitous decrees, who write oppressive statutes, to turn aside the needy from justice and to rob the poor of my people of their right, that widows may be your spoil and that you may make the orphans your prey. What will you do on the day of punishment, in the calamity that will come from far away? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your wealth, so as not to crouch among the prisoners or fall among the slain? For all of this, his anger was not turned away. His hand is stretched out still. And then at the end of chapter 10, we begin to get the talk of the repentant remnant. And then we come to our passage today in chapter 11. A chapter that begins by speaking of new beginnings branching out from the old stump of Israel and Judah. A branch whose roots go all the way back to Jesse. And Jesse was King David's father. A line that appeared dead as the Assyrian invasion and exile had already happened to Israel, and the Babylonian exile was about to happen. And then we hear John the Baptist, centuries later, crying out in our Matthew passage when he sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to hear him. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Ouch. What tree does not bear fruit? Remember that wild lilac I told you about in my backyard? It does not produce fragrant lilac blossoms. Really doesn't produce anything. It's wild. It is a sucker, as people in horticulture call them. It's a sucker on the original lilac bush, which means it pulls nutrients away from the bush and is slowly killing the bush. When I was growing up, I remember now of that time, a lesson my dad taught me. He was trimming some of those branches that you've seen on trees. They kind of, little branches, maybe about that big around, and they come out and then go straight up along the side of a trunk. And Dad would cut those, and he says, we have to cut those off. Those are suckers, and they sap the life of the tree. We need to stay attached to the root to make it through. As I said, we all go through tough patches. And for us, the root is Jesus. And Jesus was descended from Jesse. Jesus often kept himself connected to that root, which for him was God. He did this every time we hear him going off by himself to pray, even on that last night before he was arrested. He was connecting with his root. Now, why then are the Isaiah words and John the Baptist's words Advent readings? Because it is so easy to be sidetracked during the season of Advent. There are many voices that are saying, do this, do this, go here, buy this. And if you do that, you'll truly celebrate Christmas. No, you won't. Those are suckers that take you away from your root. I recall a Family Circus cartoon. And Billy and his siblings are watching a TV commercial where the announcer is saying that if you buy what he is selling and give it as a gift, it will be the best gift ever. And Billy turns to his siblings and he says, I thought Jesus was the best gift. That's true. Jesus is the best gift. But there's a lot of people who are trying to tell us there's something better. If we tend, when we get to Christmas, if we believe those other voices, and we feel tired, like tired old stumps, like the life has been sucked out of us, and we can barely get through Christmas Day. And we're good, it's good for nothing but to be tossed in the fire. But if we tend our spiritual roots, this Christmas, we might find a holy event at the end. In my newsletter article this month, I encourage people to hold the figures from their creche. Just hold it lightly in the palm of your hand and look at it. Try to remember the connection that it has with the Christmas story. And think about what this figure might have experienced when they became a part of the Christmas story. And think about how you would have been had you been this figure. A shepherd? A wise man? Mary? Joseph? But you also might think about Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. You might think about her husband Zechariah, when Elizabeth and Zechariah were John's, the Baptist's parents. You might think about the innkeeper. You might think about the guy who was enrolling people in the town of Bethlehem where Mary and Joseph went to be enrolled. You might think about King Herod and what he did when the wise men didn't come back to tell him where the child born king of the Jews was. You might think about Caesar Augustus, who called for the enrollment. In your quiet place, think about these figures, what they did, and think about why, and what part they played, and think about your response to it, or what you would have been like had you been that person. As a way of making the Christmas story become something more than just a story for yourself. By doing that, we are connecting with our root. We find nourishment for our journey, both our Advent journey and our journey in life. If we don't do that, then we're really not good for others. We're just dried old sucker branches. I often tell people how on Christmas Day, Barbara and I, my Barbara and I, but I imagine it's kind of the same for Barbara Aspinall too, that we just crash on Christmas Day. Because we're exhausted with all the stuff that goes on in churches. But you know, it's also a day of great spiritual and emotional warmth and celebration. Because we thought a lot about what we've been talking about as we've been writing the sermons and doing the various celebrations. And it's real for us. It's real for us. The body may be tired, but the spirit is alive and full of joy. And so my prayer is, may it be so again for me, and may it be so for you. Amen.